The title of my message is Righteous Divisions. And it's not what you think. Righteous Divisions is about when the enemy brings division in the people of God, neither group ever feels evil. They always feel righteous. Because I'm going to be real careful how I preface all these things today. The principality that operates in this area is able to mimic the anointing of the Holy Spirit so close that it's really hard to tell the difference. And I'm going to be talking about this morning. You know, it's a rough week when Holy Spirit takes you back through your life and reveals to you times that you yielded to this principality. Took me back to messages that I preached and showed me that I was under the influence and persuasion of the principality of this area and not the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm talking about? But never felt evil about it. Always felt righteous. I want you to turn with me to the book of James. I'm going to have just dive into this. Praise God. He is going to lead us and direct us. As a matter of fact, let's just pray right now. Father, I just thank you for the anointing of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are the discerner of our thoughts. The Word of God divides even asunder our soul and spirit and bone and marrow. And we ask today that you would divide and bring understanding and help us to see with perfect sight who you are. Because God, we have got to push through this thing and not become victim to it again. We are tired of the cycle. We're tired of being victims. We're tired of the persuasion that brings destruction and divisions. And Father, I pray today that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, the word that I'm delivering today is not just for this church, but for this whole region. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure? That war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I want everybody to say, he will lift us up. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to do my best today to just break the power of the enemy in demoting the people of God. We need to be promoted. Amen. I'm not talking about an egotistical thing. I'm talking about being promoted in the things of God. But in order to do so, we have to break through this. And I've referred to this different time, but I have to talk about this in order for us to understand. Several years ago, I was confronted by a principality, a demonic principality, and it was terrifying. But the reason it was terrifying wasn't because he was ghoulish or wasn't because it's some kind of scary thing. The terrifying part was this: I didn't have any ability to resist his persuasion. In myself, I was overwhelmed. I had no ability to resist, and I believed everything he was saying. I tried to resist him. I tried to rebuke him. He just laughed. Nothing I did had any effect. I tried to stand in authority. They laughed at me. The only thing that brought me victory that night was, number one, Holy Spirit. It was in the middle of the night. I was in the church praying by myself. Number one, Holy Spirit woke Sister Betty up and told her, pray for Tim, he's in trouble. And so she began to intercede. She had no idea what was going on. She began to intercede for me. Didn't find out about that until the next morning. But as I stood there, paralyzed, wanting to get out of there so bad I couldn't stand it, wanting to run, and I've never run from anything, but I was wanting with everything in me to get out of that church. Like I said, I tried everything to fight. I tried everything to resist. This is back in the maybe early 90s, somewhere around 1990. Maybe even further back than that, in the late 80s. I can't remember the exact date. But I wondered, why are you confronting me? Because this is what he said. And I want you to, I'm trying to set the picture for you. This was not a scary person. That's the problem. This was a very handsome man, a very well-groomed man, and an extremely charismatic person who had a power of persuasion that I'd never confronted, never heard, never seen before. And I began to realize why Jesus on the Mount of Temptation did not argue, simply quoted the word. I'm trying to measure what I say here, because I could just dive off in the peripheral. I want to go to the heart, because this is what God wants us to do. As I stood there, I realized that I was incapable of resisting. I was incapable of fighting. There was no way that I could win or resist this battle. And so the only thing I knew to do, as I was standing in the back of the auditorium of this church, and the only thing I knew to do was I begin to yell out, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Holy Spirit, fill this place. That's all I could do. I just began to yell, every inch, fill this place. Because everything I tried to do did not work. And I was standing in the back of the auditorium, and on the platform I heard a noise. And all of a sudden, a wind swept through that auditorium. And I felt it blow across me. And when that wind blew across me, all fear was gone. All intimidation was gone. Total peace came over me. And I ran to the front of that church and fell on my face and just began to worship the Lord, because I knew that He had saved me and that He is the only one that can do that. Pride and arrogance in our spirituality will sink you faster. You start feeling powerful and you will be a tragedy in the kingdom of God. The Bible in this says, humble yourselves beneath the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself before the Lord. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? You refuse to go into your own strength and ability, and you submit completely and totally to God. This is not a fight. If you turn it into a fight, you will lose. This is a yielding and submission. And that is your only protection. Okay? I know some of you are probably freaking out right now, but you got to understand, you have stepped into the vortex this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been fighting this battle. This has been going on for years. And I've seen this battle over and over and over and over. And I've been seeing it again. I've been seeing it in people's eyes. In this region, I've been feeling it. I've been watching it. And this is the part, because the enemy does not want to lose this territory. Amen. He is territorial. And he knows that if the body of Christ can get insight into how to walk with God through this, that he will lose and he will not be able to hang on any longer, and we will actually receive the provisions of God and the spoils of war, and he does not want that to happen. Amen. But the problem is he uses us to do it. The next day, man, I hope I'm communicating this good. The next day, on Sunday morning, that was Saturday night, Sunday morning, I tried my best to explain to the congregation that I was pastoring at that time what had happened. And the thing that happened there is somewhat what happened here, and I want everybody here to just humble yourself, because some of you are hearing a conversation right now that I'm not, it's totally different what I'm speaking. Because he knows how to interpret. The next day I tried to explain what had happened, and they couldn't hear me. They couldn't understand. Matter of fact, after church, they said, well, I don't know who in the world you got in a fight with last night, but it's like, I told you who it was, but they couldn't hear it. They were incapable of hearing it because they had some agendas. And this principality was partnering with those agendas. And so Sunday night came, we had Sunday night service, and Sunday night came and I was just still in this just bewilderment and trying to figure out what in the world just happened. What is going on? And why am I being singled out? I mean, if I'd have done something great, you could understand it, but I mean, I've been asking God for a long time, God, why, you know, what? I was sitting on the platform Sunday night before church started because I'd just been in prayer all day saying, God, somehow help us to understand. Somehow help us here. I don't know what to do. And as I sit there on the platform watching people walk in, all of a sudden my eyes were opened to something that I did not expect. And I looked across that congregation and I saw people sitting in pews, and these spirits were sitting beside them with their arms around them. And they had the exact same expression on their face as they were looking at me. It was this glare. And I could see it is the exact same expression. And then I saw a young man walking down the aisle that felt like he was called to preach. I'd been trying to influence him. And I saw him walking down the aisle, and the Spirit had its arm around this young man, and he had this smirk on his face and a glare and looking right at me, and it was the identical expression. And I thought, oh God, we don't have to be possessed to be influenced. We just have to have some type of bitterness, envy, or self-seeking in us. And at that moment, I fell out on the floor, face down on the floor, and just began to weep before God because I began to say, God, how can we do this? How can we fight this? How can we resist this? Righteous divisions are always because we become righteous about something against somebody else. Last night in my dreams, and I know this isn't my normal way of preaching, but I've got to just communicate this. Last night, I began to dream that I was at this church. And we had went there to be a part of a service. And we were sitting up in the balcony. There were some of you that was with me. We were sitting up in the balcony. And this church knew that we were there. And for some reason, they felt like we didn't quite fit in or agree with them. And they sent people up to stand in front of us, and these people stood in front of us just looking at us the whole time, guarding us, making sure we didn't disrupt or make or cause problems. And I'm standing there thinking, why are they doing this? Why? What is this? We serve the same Lord, and yet somehow there's an attitude of division here. Somehow there's a fear. As I begin to process that, I want you to listen to me carefully. There's a church called Pentecostals of Alexandria. Some of the most powerful worship music you can hear. I mean, they can sing. Big church. And they can sing. They don't sing, they sing. Love their worship. But they have some very strong beliefs. They believe that you can only be baptized strictly in the name of Jesus. And if you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have to be rebaptized because you're not saved if you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Very strong belief. And yet they declare that Jesus is Lord. And they sing the same worship songs we sing, only just a little better. Hey, I'm not, I didn't. That was that principality right there. I guess. They're Southern. They're Southern. And in the same town, there's another church. It's called Assembly of God. And they declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit just like the POA church believes. But they cannot come together or worship together because this church believes that you can only be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they don't even want you to put in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ on the end of it. Very strict about it. Okay? So we're singing Jesus is Lord, declaring the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but we have righteous division. Because each group feels very righteous in their division. And then you've got the Pentecostal Holiness Church in the same town. And they believe that Jesus is Lord. They believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But they can't get along with any of the others because they have this belief that there is a second definite work called sanctification. And they believe that after you're saved, you have to seek for sanctification just like you seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it has to be a spiritual impartation. And once you are sanctified, I mean, you are sanctified. I used to hold revivals in that group. And I met some of the meanest sanctified people you've ever seen on the face of the earth. They were holy and mad about it. You know what I'm talking about? But they can't worship Jesus with these other people because they have righteous division. And then you've got the Baptists in the same town. And they declare that Jesus is Lord. But they can't associate with any of the rest of them because they don't believe you're supposed to speak in tongues. It's of the devil. And yet they worship the Lord, sing most of the same songs we sing, and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then you have the Rhema Church, and then you have the Church of Christ, and then you understand what I'm talking about? Where did all of these divisions come from? They came from righteousness. Righteous beliefs that somebody's wrong, and since they're wrong, they're evil. Come on, somebody. I know this is hard preaching. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. You don't understand what I've been through trying to get here and make this easy. This principality that rules, listen to me. The night he confronted me, this is what he said to me. Him and his whatever you call him. I mean, I'm not trying to be spooky or blow this out of proportion. This happened. For years, I wouldn't talk about a lot of the stuff that's happened in my life because I thought nobody's going to believe this. And if I do talk about it, they're going to think I'm trying to build myself up. But it's time to talk about this stuff because we keep losing. This is what he said to me. The night when I walked in that auditorium, I heard a noise. I was in my office praying, and I heard a noise in the auditorium, and I walked in the auditorium. When I walked in the auditorium, I was seized. My arms, my legs, every part of my body was literally seized, and I was held captive. You say, how could that happen? I don't know. I'm born again, washed in the blood, full of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that I have not understood down through the years, and I keep trying to understand them, and I've been asking the Holy Spirit lately, would you please explain this to me? Because I've had born again, blood washed, spirit filled people in the church repeat the same words to me that devil said to me, and they felt very righteous about it. Matter of fact, most of them have said, I'm on business for God. I'm on business for the King. And then they unleash this evil, hateful, degrading speech that comes straight from the mouth of this principality. And I stand there thinking, how is this possible? How? How can this be happening? I've had a very violent life in the church. And I don't know how else to say that. You know, those of you that have come in the last 3 years, thank you. I love you guys. Amen. So many of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But I need you to understand something. You have entered the epicenter of spiritual warfare in this region. Amen. I'm not going to try to. Matter of fact, every time I see people come and join in, I start saying, God, give us grace. God, give us grace. Because I know you're about to get into something that's going to be hard to understand. Because the Spirit said to me, he said, who are you? And what do you think you're going to do? In my mind, I'm thinking, I'm nobody, and all I want to do is get out of here. Amen. I've faced some pretty rough situations in my life. I've had to fight my way out of a lot of stuff. I've been overwhelmed, overnumbered, outnumbered. I've been attacked by multiple people at the same time and fought my way out and not been afraid, but I was terrified this night. And he said, who are you and what do you think you're going to do? And I could not for the life of me understand why he was even asking me that question. And then he said this. He said, do you not understand that I own the churches of this area? He said, I rule the churches of this region. And I believed him because he started naming them off. And everyone he named off, I knew he ruled that church. And you're sitting in one right now that he named. And God sent me up here and we have fought to break the power of this principality now because this is the epicenter. God has called us to stand and there is a breaking that has taken place. Matter of fact, in the last year, a few years, God has helped us to restore relationship that has been broken for years and unity has been coming. I have seen 30 years of hatred go away in just the last couple of years. I sit and visit with and pray with pastors that couldn't even be in the same room with each other just a couple of years ago. And now it's nothing but love and unity. See, the enemy doesn't want that. He strives in strife and envy and confusion. That's what he tries to create. But he said, I own the churches of this area. I was only going to mention this today, but I've got to go into depth on it. And I understood that he owned every one of them. And in the church I was pastoring at that time, he said, this is my property. I own it. You think the devil's not territorial? He is very territorial. And he does not want us taking his property. He doesn't want us taking his areas, his regions. But listen to me. This is the part I need you to get. This spirit can mimic the anointing of the Holy Spirit so close that if you are not humbled before God, you won't know the difference because it feels good. It feels empowering. It feels righteous. Like I said this last week, Holy Spirit has taken me back through times, and I've had to sit and watch myself preach messages and the Holy Spirit saying that was the influence. You were under the influence. I was preaching the word. He said you were under the influence because you had some resentment in your heart. And this week I've had to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I didn't understand that. I didn't know that. Who would believe that? I wouldn't. And yet he showed me. I've watched God begin to move in churches over and over and over. And there just begin to be a move of the Spirit of God. I mean, God begin to move. People start getting hungry for God. And the next thing you know, somebody in that group starts deciding that the pastor is not spiritual enough to lead this. When the leadership of the church starts trying to bring some order and direction to it, all of a sudden they aren't spiritual. And now they're evil and they have to be removed right in the middle of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I've watched groups bust apart because they were hungry for God. And they felt righteous about what they were doing. I know this is a very sobering message, but I need you to understand today that has been activated again. The enemy has decided that we're too close to a breakthrough. We've got his attention. I tried for years, this war went on and on and on. I didn't understand. I really didn't understand it. I really didn't. And I know I've got a different characteristic. You know, I can't change this. Most people think I'm mad or something all the time. It's just my face. I can be very happy. You know, we'll take a picture or something and Betty will say, smile. I said, I was. Usually just this little corner of my mouth goes up. That's a smile. So I have to practice smiling. Because I have a demeanor that irritates people, and I understand that. I didn't for years. For years, I did not understand. I kept thinking, why do people act that the way they do toward me? Because I didn't feel like what they were seeing. You understand what I'm talking about? God has put an authority in my life, and he's made me a fighter. And so that's what people perceive. And God has put an authority on my life that can be very irritating. And a lot of times I don't ask questions, I give commands. I understand that. I don't mean to. Sister Betty's always telling me, say please. But that's not even what this is about. What this is about is that we do not have the ability to resist this influence and persuasion without Holy Spirit illuminating the Word of God in us and helping us to see past our righteous indignations and see what he wants to do and get us to humble ourselves before God instead of entering into a fight. We have got to stop entering into fights. Because how you fight in the kingdom of God is by laying yourself prostrate before God and saying, God, I am nothing before you. Amen. And then God says, I will exalt you. Humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God, and I will exalt you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Man, I wish I could preach this better. Help you understand it. Praise God. Worship team, listen, you did a great job today. I know you felt like you were pushing a boulder uphill. You did a great job. But there's been a war. But we're not going to, the reason I'm talking about this today, I said, Holy Spirit, help me, because this principality loves attention. And I've been praying all week, God, help me to speak without empowering him. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to empower him because he loves attention. I want to put him out of this region, out of our lives, out of our families, out of our churches. He is the very essence of division. He's so persuasive. He will persuade you in sin. But if he can't persuade you in sin, he will persuade you in righteousness. And next thing you know, you have assigned a group of people or a person as being evil because you feel righteous about something. If you want to know how that works, listen to the woke people of this nation. They feel very righteous and very morally exalted in what they're doing. And they are willing to destroy people and willing to destroy a nation because they feel so righteous about their superior morality. Okay? That'd help us understand this demonic influence. He said, humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. This is always about control and possession. We have to decide not to fight about those things. The Bible says this wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. There are more people praying in this region now than ever have been before. And yet lately I've been seeing this principality infiltrating prayer meetings. I see it in the attitudes. I see it in the conduct. Superiority begins to rise. And next thing you know, somebody's saying, well, this person is evil. This group, we can't associate with this group anymore because they're not as spiritual as we are. It can come down to some of the simplest things. Churches are being influenced right now, this week. This is a region-wide thing, okay? I'm trying to bring understanding to it. Amen. There's been some intense fights right here in this auditorium this week for me to be able to bring this to you, because I did not want to talk about this today, but we have to. Because if we're not careful, we will begin to feel righteous about something to the point of resisting and rejecting. And then out of that becomes division. And then out of that, the power of the Holy Spirit is decimated. The move of God is destroyed, and we're back to first base, trying to start all over again. Amen. And it's been a joy today, hasn't it? Come on. Hallelujah. I come in here with fear and trembling because I know what I'm talking about, and I know we're on the threshold of two things, one of two things. We're on the threshold of a breakthrough, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen before, or we're on the threshold of a breakdown. One or the other. And we have to determine what we're going to do, which way we're going to do. You know, 30 years of pastoring here, I've pastored here a lot longer than 30 years. I've been here a long time. I pastored here for, I know of 3 years after I was fired. I know that confuses some of you. And then I was voted out twice as pastor. And I'm still here. This is before the days of Rob and Tammy. That's been a long time ago, hasn't it? You guys have been here a long time. I mean, you've been here a long time. They were just teenagers when I first met them. They got saved, gave their lives to the Lord. But I've had to learn how to fight. And the way you fight is you yield. Yield to God. Amen. I was assistant pastor and youth leader, I was assistant pastor, worship leader, and youth leader here at this church in my early 20s. And there had been a terrible, terrible split in this church. I was born again here, and then I moved to Oklahoma to work for Halliburton Oil Well Servicing. While we were gone for a few years, there was this terrible split that took place in this church. And another church was started in Branson out of this church called New Life Temple. Pastor Jerry Haynes. They started a new church. And so then the pastor here called me. The new pastor called me. He didn't know who I was, and he wanted me to be his assistant pastor worship leader. I was working in Oklahoma. I had no plans of it. I was going to Texas. I was never coming back here in all my life. And about 3 weeks after that, I looked like Jed Clampett, because I had my old pickup loaded down with everything we own in Oklahoma tied down, and I was heading back to Missouri. Missouri, I hear you calling me. That's an old song. I came back here and was assistant pastor worship leader for about a year, and I wasn't accepted. Here, I found out the pastor's the only one wanted me to be the only one wanted me here. Matter of fact, they paid me $100 a week and the church refused to even pay me the $100 a week. I found out later there's one man in the church that's paying me $100 a week to be the assistant pastor. Whoa, glory. Doesn't that excite you about ministry? Woo, glory. And so I wasn't welcome at the other church, even though they were people that I was saved with and because I was here. And so I didn't belong anywhere. Until one day, Pastor Jerry Haynes called me and said, I want you to come and preach on a Sunday night. So I went down there and preached on a Sunday night. And a revival broke out. Had a tremendous week. I mean, people were saved, baptized the Holy Spirit. It was a wonderful week. But at the end of that week, I found out that I was no longer assistant pastor and worship leader here at this church. Because I'd went and preached at that church. Righteous division. Righteous division. Everybody felt extremely righteous about what they were doing. Nobody felt evil. Amen. I'm going to have to shut this down. But you know what I did? I stayed here. I continued to serve. I was holding revivals, but I continued to serve. I preached anytime they needed me to, which they didn't need me to very much. I cleaned the bathrooms. I mowed the lawn. I helped any way possible that I could help. See, most people would say, well, that's it. I'm leaving that church. But instead of feeling righteously divided, Holy Spirit told me that's where I've sent you. You stay. And so I continued to work here. I'm going to have to get through this, but I continued to work here until I was holding revivals different places, but this was my home church until we lost our little girl. And after we lost our little girl, after she died, Brother Daryl Friend, who was here, pastor, he's the one that invited me to come here. He came to me and he said, I've got a week of meetings scheduled starting next Sunday, and I feel like you're supposed to preach them. I said, Brother Daryl, I just buried my little girl. I have no idea what to do. I don't even know how to preach. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He said, well, I just wanted to give you an opportunity. And after a few days, I called him back, and I said, is that offer still available? He said, yeah. And I said, brother, I got to tell you something going into this thing. I'm devastated. I don't even know what to say. We started that week of meetings, and 6 weeks later, we were still going in revival. After a major tragedy in a church that I'd just been fired at about a year earlier. You understand what I'm saying? And then they got in between pastors, and I pastored this church for 3 years with the people of this church telling me, we don't want you. You're not welcome here. I cleaned the bathrooms. I mowed the lawn until they took the key of the lawnmower away from me because they didn't want me having possession of the lawnmower. Woo! Glory! Call me, Lord. Call me. Our destinies are established, and God, if we'll listen to God, He'll direct our path. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'm wanting every one of us here today to understand that you can't do this by yourself. You have to yield yourself and you have to allow Holy Spirit to walk with you. Long story short, We've been here a long time. And God has continued to move, but we have continually saw the same thing over and over and over. I've seen it in this region. I've seen it in this area. And I do not want you or me to become a victim of this thing again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Are you mad at me or are you ready to break through? Come on. Hallelujah. We're not going to do this again. We're not going to go through this again. There are thousands of people waiting to be saved. We have a harvest. We have spoils of war that are out there laying on the battlefield. And we've got to get united and learn how to go out and gather the spoils of war. And we can't let this deceitful spirit keep taking that away from us. Amen. We've got to learn how to stand up. And we have to learn how to link together. Amen. Praise God. Next time you just start feeling really irritated at me, you probably have a reason. Just say, God, help him. Amen. But whatever you do, don't start feeling righteous about your division. Because that is the first sign of the Spirit. Feeling righteous about your opposition. Amen. And I promise not to do the same thing. I won't do that. Praise God. Amen. We are united here. Praise God. I'm going to have to throw these clothes in the dryer. I'm soaking wet here. This has not been a fun thing. The pressure has been immense this week. I'm not whining or crying. I'm wanting you to understand we have an adversary. And he is so deceitful. And he mimics the Holy Spirit so closely, it's hard to tell the difference. There's times I watch a preacher preach a message, and I'm in my heart, I'm going, oh God, they're being influenced, but I can hear it in their voice. And how are they being influenced? One of two things. Envy, resentment, or self-seeking. One of two things. And I don't know about you today, but I have been laying myself before God for days now saying, God, purge me of anything that would open me up. Pastor Rob started this last Sunday after God gave me a commandment a week ago on Friday. Listen, this is what Holy Spirit said to me. Stand with me, if you would. I butchered this thing all to pieces, but I think we got the understanding. I'm not just preaching and praying for this church. I'm preaching and praying for James River. I'm preaching and praying for New Life Temple. I'm preaching and praying for Sanctuary of Hope. I'm preaching and praying for every Baptist church, every Pentecostal church, every charismatic church in this area, that we get to the point where this does not work anymore. A week ago on Friday, Holy Spirit, I was praying and he interrupted me. Have you ever been interrupted by the Holy Spirit while you're praying? Say, hey, I'm trying to pray here. With a very commanding voice, this is what he said to me, and I did not understand it at first, and I'm starting to understand it. Sometimes our terminology, we have a hard time with terminology. It's like when you call something sick these days, that doesn't mean bad, that means good. You know, how did that happen? I do not understand that. You know, I had a guy come up to me one day when I was on my Harley, and he looked at me and said, "Oh, sick bike." You know, that was a compliment. How did that happen? Who changed that word? That's terrible. That's terrible. To use that word as a compliment, that's terrible. But that's what Holy Spirit said to me in a very commanding voice. You know, angels have been all around this place today because the devil threatened me this week. He said, "You preach this, I'm going to hurt you." And I just went through that last year. And I don't even have time to go into that. But I've been posting angels all around this place today. Holy Spirit said this to me with a very commanding voice. He said, "Remove the paganism." I felt like I was in trouble. I stopped praying. I said, "God, what are you saying? What? I don't understand. What are we doing that's pagan?" It shook me. It has ever since. And so immediately I started saying, "Okay, what do we got that's pagan? What are we?" So I started doing all kinds of research on everything that's pagan. We could assign everything in this building to be pagan if we wanted to. And then I realized that I was looking at peripheral. And Holy Spirit said, "Go to the heart. Go to the heart of it. Go to the heart of it." And the heart of it is this: paganism is when we exalt anything above Jesus. And I've been saying, "God, help me to remove this. Help us to remove anything that is exalted above you, that's greater than you. Whether it's ourselves, our ways, our type of worship. God, help us to repent of this heart issue." Holy Spirit, lead us today. Speak to us today. Now, there's one or two responses that you're going to have to this message today. Either you're just going to be a little irritated and think, "Boy, I didn't come to church for this." Or else you're going to be humbled in your spirit and say, "God, I do not want to be a part of the devil's plans and strategies." Amen. A lot of times when pastors preach messages like this, it's because there's some kind of uprising. I don't know of any uprising in this church. Amen. Y'all are great. Some of the best, most loving people I've ever pastored. But there's a threat. And as a dad, anytime there's a threat against my kids or my grandkids, I rise up against it. And as a dad in this house, a father in this house, there's a threat against the kids in this house. And we're not going to go there. We're not going to allow this. We're not going to allow this. Hallelujah. Father, I pray over this congregation and over this whole region. Hallelujah. Would you do something with me today? This is not just about us. This is about this whole region. Can we just begin to cry out to God to deliver us from this routine of the enemy, this seductive thing that has worked over and over and over because of these familiar spirits. God, deliver us. Deliver us from this thing, Father. Father, deliver us from it.